Pledge of Allegiance. That's what we got to do. I knew I was thinking of something. Y'all stand. Let's play a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you, guys. We got 29 days before we go to the voting booth. Y'all know, God has not allowed me to get off of this yet. I shared it in California. They told Kathy at the Bible study Tuesday morning, some of the women at the women's Bible study, that they'd never been spoken to quite so boldly before. I can't imagine. I tried to be kind of conserved. You know, not really, I didn't. I told them their governor was a wimp, and they needed to stand up and take control in their state. And they were all for it. I mean, it was a great bunch of people. But this week, the Lord really showed me to where to stay and to where to go. But I got Billy's newsletter the other day, and I want to read something. You know, we're so, you know, where we are in this nation. Let me read this first, this statement. God will bless or curse a nation based on Christians' involvement in politics. Amen. Y'all get that? If y'all want to title this, it's going to be the church's responsibility in the governing of the affairs of a nation. And he will bless or curse a nation based on Christians' involvement in politics. A lot of people think, oh, pastor, I can't preach from the pulpit. Wrong. Pastors are to preach the governing affairs of the nation from the pulpit. If it hadn't been for the black coat ministers, we would not have had an American Revolution, and we might not have an America today. The black coat ministers started the American Revolution. We're in the middle of another American Revolution, and we all know that. But this is kind of evangelistic. It's the saving of a nation. And the saving of a lot of people in this nation, that otherwise, if the church doesn't rise up and take its place, they're doomed. Because it's time for us to be heard in every sense, in every area of influence that we participate in and occupy. But Billy was, the newsletter this week, it says, this is just a paragraph out in a few statements. We must pray with great fervency and expectation for another great awakening. Not so much just a revival, an awakening. An awakening to God. Not just a revival, and that must come too. However, a revival affects mainly the church. An awakening is an outpouring so powerful it affects all of society. Man, that's where we are. That's the time we're in. One thing will save America, and it's not an election. It's an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations, and it's an awakening to God. The best person on earth could be elected president, and it would do no good if the people did not awaken to God. Awakenings, that's what she's talking about here. And she said, Satan fights against fair elections for godly people. So we're going to stop right now, okay? Let's pray. Father, we plead the blood over our elections. We ask you to put a hedge of protection around about them, and we break the forces of evil that are trying to pervert them, that are trying to steal and take away the honesty of them. We thank you that our elections are fair and honest. By your grace, by your power, by your angels that you put around them, we agree today that you'll place a rain angels around all of the ballots, the ballot boxes, machines, paper ballots, and people will not be able to cheat in the name of Jesus. And what your desire be accomplished in this nation, be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I've been on, y'all can turn to the book of Esther, I think. I'm going to share some other scriptures, and if you want to write them down, but I'm going to go through them kind of fast. But I want to go to the book of Esther. I don't know. I'm going to need that. Esther's right before Job. Right after Nehemiah, if that helps you any. Evil counsel and the silence of the church. Evil counsel and us not speaking up. And That's how it prevails in a nation, in a city council, at the school board. It counts on the silence of the church because we've failed to stand up and let our voices be heard in a manner that we need to. And you know, this is not just for our government. This is for the people we're associated with every day. They can't hear and know the gospel if we don't come out and from the world and be separate and let people see who we are in Christ. We got to be different. We got to be heard. We've got to stand and to exercise our authority that we've been given, because evil counts on the silence of the church. I got this off of David Barton's deal the other night. We're going to Esther. I'm going to give you the scriptures in a minute. But 54% of the people in this nation that are eligible to vote actually are registered to vote. 54%. 36% of those 54%, that's of the 54, not of 100%. That's 36% of the 54% that are registered actually vote. That means 18% of the people that voted determine the outcome of the election. How important is this for the body of Christ to vote? People think, well, I don't like him because he talks kind of bad. Get over it, sucker. You better see what their platform is and what they're standing for. And we better speak up and let the people around us know that, especially in the body of Christ. You know, the church, the people out there, they're going to come in during an awakening to God. But if the people in the church don't get woke up, if we don't wake up and fill our spot and rise up and take our place, they don't hear. So we got to stand up for what's right, and we got to speak the truth, because we got pastors standing behind these pulpits that are being controlled by a board of elders because they're scared they're not going to get their paycheck to feed their family, and they don't speak the truth. Shame on them. And I'm not condemning them. We need to pray for them guys the next 29 days that as they speak up behind their pulpits and speak the truth, and they better have a greater fear of God than they had of man. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That would be, I'll find it. I got two separate, no, Ricky, you may have to come help me. Proverbs 8:13, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So think about, I'm asking the Lord, how do you share the fear of the Lord and the love of God and grace and mercy at the same time? That's a little bit, I mean, it's the fear of the Lord is a reverent respect for God and His Word. And the fear of the Lord, if it's the beginning of wisdom, then through the fear of the Lord, I don't want to fall under the judgment of God in an area of my life. I mean, as we read through the scriptures, we see what happens when we walk out of the secret place of the Most High, or out from under the shadow of the Almighty. But to have to say, well, I don't want to say that. For a pastor to stand up here and not speak the truth, he has no fear of the Lord. And I don't want to be caught like that. He has no fear of the Lord. And of course, there's other areas in our lives, y'all, that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we begin to understand and reverence the Lord and put what He said up high. And that's the first fruits when we begin to get, we understand, Lord, I'm going to do what Your Word says. Oh, I didn't want to share this. You know, the Word says, you can really help me with this. The Word says, He's talking to Moses and them, and said, you know, concerning Israel, and He said, I'm going to bless those that bless Israel, and I'm going to curse those that curse Israel. And we have so many people in this nation that are fixing to come under judgment for cursing the Jewish people. And Kathy and I got a little awakening the other day. We're dealing a business deal going on, and one of the lawyers involved is Jewish. He's Orthodox Jew. He told Kathy one day, he said, I don't believe like you do. And he's a little arrogant and thinks a little more highly of himself than he ought to. And Janet, my words toward him have been pretty sorry. And I'm on the ranch the other day, and just, you know, and we'd had some delays in some things. And the Lord said, you're not helping with those delays because your words have been stout against him. And he said, you need to remember that I bless those that bless Israel and I curse those that curse Israel. And he said, you're stepping out from under my blessing. Not that the Lord was fixing to curse me. But that's what, in Deuteronomy 28, the whole chapter, when we understand that when we walk out from under the secret place of the Most High, he said, he's one of my people. He is Jewish and part of the nation of Israel, and they all shall be saved. And your words, you need to repent of that. And I'm like, yes, sir, because I want this deal to get on done. And so me and Cassie, we did, you know. But it was amazing. Is it just the Lord just brought that up very gently? He wasn't abrupt about it. He didn't, you know, he just said, you need to watch that. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When he brings things to us that we need to take care of, we're not afraid. It's not a afraid thing. It's the love of God that causes us to fear the Lord. When we can comprehend his love and we say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding so that I really know how you love me because you fashioned my days for me. And we're all going to answer. When we stand before the throne, the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, did you vote? Well, no, I didn't like Trump. I didn't like this one or I didn't like that one. Okay, well, if you didn't vote, you voted for evil. If we don't vote, we vote for evil. Because we're not being a part of the solution, we now become a part of the problem. We've become a detriment to that. We got 29 days to help remind people. You got to vote, especially Christians. If just the body that claims to be Christians takes part, they can't cheat us out of nothing if we vote biblically. God gave Israel 613 laws. I think I'm correct on that. And David was saying tonight, if we don't vote for people that, he said, you don't got to go through all 613 laws with them. Just tell them, vote the Ten Commandments. Because if people can vote for someone that sheds innocent blood, they better check their Christianity. We got to help them understand that. That's the fear of the Lord. Where people vote their pocketbook. It's not our pocket. It's the Word of God that we got to be voting. We got to be voting biblical things into this people in office, from the dog catcher all the way up through the president. Yes. And so this morning, my deal is, Lord, help us understand the fear of you, that reverence for being obedient to your word, to putting it above, first place in our life, above everything else. That when he asks us to do something that looks like it's detrimental to us, but it's according to the word of God, when we're to speak up somewhere, you know, at a city council meeting or a school board meeting or down at the feed store or at the beauty shop or at the barber shop, when we hear something and the Lord prompts us, tell the truth here. Speak the truth. Amen. And we think, well, what are they going to think? It don't matter. As Ron told Corey, get a no-give-a attitude. It don't matter what they think. Because, you know, they don't know the truth. You and me know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And it will not only make us free, but it will make them free. It might tick them off to start with. That's okay. But you know what? When people get ticked off, what do you and I do when we get ticked off at somebody else and don't repent of it immediately? You think about it all the time, all day long. You start to do something, and that person comes to your mind. You know what? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When we and I speak the truth into somebody's lives, and we make them mad, all day long, the Holy Spirit's bringing our face back to them, and they're hearing that over and over. And at some point, it's going to sprout. Don't be politically correct. Let our voices be heard. We've got to stand up and speak the truth. Because that's how the captives get set free. That's how they come out of bondage. That's how their chains are broken. You know, I called them queers there in California. And now they told me, said, well, that's what they want us to call them now. And And so, you know, if you're sitting here this morning, please don't, if you're dealing with that, please don't take offense. We want you, the truth is, God fashioned your days for each one of us before the foundations of the world. And that, there, you know, dumb farm animals realize that that won't work. That it marriages between a man and a woman. We got to declare that. It's between a man and a woman. There's two genders. There's not 437 of them. There's two of them. We got to speak that out. It's going to make them mad. But you know what? As we do that, we just keep sharing and sharing, and people, eyes are open. We start to play. We got to do it in a loving way of letting people know this is what God said. God fashioned your days for you. You're being cheated of the best days you can have of your life because you've allowed someone to speak lies into you. Well, Tuesday morning while Kathy's doing the Bible study, Bill, Debbie's husband, and I and Philip, we went to eat breakfast, Waffle House. And we're sitting there, and Bill's, he's pretty close to 80, I think. He's right there. And one of the sweetest natured men. That, I mean, just real easy going. He just sort of takes everything in. You can see him processing all of it. He got more gunpowder and ammunition than anybody I've ever seen. Winchester ain't got that much. He took me to his reloading room, Roger. Whoa, he's ready. You can't order live ammunition in California unless you have an FFL. But you can order all the stuff to reload your own. And he's got it. A lot of it. But we go to a little Waffle House to eat, and our waitress, young, I don't know, probably in her 30s, you know, and she had a tattoo on each arm. And of course, Bill's old school, him and Philip both, they're not real fond of all that stuff. And I just looked at her as she walked up, and it was very pretty, Janet. I mean, that's one on her left arm. It was just really pretty. So I just said, man, that's really pretty. What is it? And she stuck her arm up in front of me, and I just looked at it, and, you know, and Bill and Philip are looking at me like, what are you doing? You know what? When we begin to develop relationships with people, not judge them, what they're wearing, what they have on, you know, what they, you know, if whatever it is, we're not to judge them. Amen. We're to open up an avenue of ministry, of just seeing where they're at. And I told him when she walked off, I said, I watched Glenn Smith one day, one Sunday at Tomball. And there was a young man sitting in front of me and Kathy and Ann, and he had an earring in his ear. And this was a long time. This is 35, 40 years ago. And he's sitting there, and he had an earring dangling down. And Glenn's just preaching out. I mean, he's just going, and, you know, a long horse barn, hay bales, and he sees the earring. Were you there, Kenny? He sees the earring. He just stops. And he goes over and puts his hand on his shoulder. And he just goes to talking to him about how pretty that earring is. And Ann's over there going, oh, no, Glenn. And then he just stops and picks back up where he was and just keeps on preaching. At the end of the service, the young man got delivered from homosexuality, got born again and delivered from homosexuality. And there was something else that Corey told us happened. What was it, Kath? I don't remember what else. There was something else I don't remember what it was, but there was something else he got that day. I mean, he got poured on. You know, guys, we got to get rid of the judgmental thing here. You know, and you think, well, you're talking about, I'm bringing up something that is stealing their life from them. We're seeing people that they're held captive by demonic spirits. And we have we've been given the authority to break that off. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, it's time we exercise that authority. Amen. And we don't have to be with a hammer. The only hammer we need is our Bible, the Word of God. All we got to do is speak the Word. We speak the truth, and the truth makes people free. That's what God's asking us to do. And so, I've said, Lord, help me. I want to. In those situations, I want to recognize where I need to go with what I need to say so that there's a possibility of opening the door in someone's life to get them set free and delivered. We can get her done. And I don't want to care what anybody else thinks. And y'all think I always don't, but sometimes I do. Y'all at Esther yet? Man, I've been on Esther for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to try. There's just a wealth of knowledge right here. You can go all through Proverbs and look at all of the scriptures yourself concerning the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to go through each one of them because I'll run out of time. But I want to get to about Esther. Esther and Mordecai. They were cousins. And Jewish cousins. And the book of Esther is about a man's plot to bring grave danger to the Jews, and it's countered by the courage of Esther and Mordecai. And at the beginning in chapter 1, the king's going to have this feast thing, and the other queen, she don't want to come, she don't want to be a part. So she disobeys the king, and she gets removed. Now, they ain't got no queen. And so it's time to select another queen. And they call for... I'm going to try to read some of this without... There's so much. I don't want to just read from you. But then the king's servants, this is in chapter 2 of Esther, verse 2, who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins." And so what they did was they brought all those in, and Esther happens to be one of them that got selected. Now she's brought into the king's palace. I'm going to paraphrase some of this, and you can, but y'all, I'm serious. It's not a long book. Go read Esther 2 or 3 times. Amen. So Esther, she gets put in here, she gets a person that's going to look after her to help her with her makeup. To all of the oils and all the things that just make her more beautiful and more beautiful. And evidently she was very beautiful already, or she wouldn't have been selected. So she's got the favor of God on her, and she gets selected, and she gets brought into this deal. And for like 6 months or something, and then the king gets to look at all of them. I'm paraphrasing. Y'all read it, okay? So it's not just, but to get through all this, to get to the points that we need to make. And so then the king picks Esther to be the queen. Now, Esther and Mordecai, they're cousins. And Mordecai's down the street. And he's advised her of things to do. But he told her one thing. Don't tell them you're Jewish. Don't let it be known that you're Jewish. So she doesn't. And she gets brought before the king, and now she's the queen, and they do all these things. And it was illegal, it was unlawful for the queen to come before the king unless she was summoned by the king. And so Mordecai's down there on the street. They're two very unlikely people to even have been put in the position that they're in. As you read it, you'll understand that. You know, but in chapter 3, back up to chapter 2, verse 19. So when virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. He sat down there in the square below the gate. Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the commandment of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. Verse 21, in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, and I say all their names, they were doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on the king. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king, and these guys get home. Now here's Mordecai, a Jew, on the streets, much like a Christian in the United States today in certain places. And he tells what he hears, gets it to the queen, who gets it to the king, and the king don't get assassinated, he does the hanging. And he gets rid of the two guys that had plotted against him. Okay, so here we go. Man, this is when it starts to get really good. So after these things, King Ahasuerus, chapter 3, promoted Haman. Haman, he'd be a whole lot like Barack Obama, George Soros, or Bill Gates. Seriously. Those are the three guys that are behind the demonic things that are going on in this nation. The man with the plan, Obama. The man with the money, Soros, him and Gates. I'm serious. There's three of them. But there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's seeking to expose and take them out. Now, part of that's Rusty hoping that's happening, but I think it's going to happen anyway. Because they're a lot like Haman. So Haman, he don't like the Jews. They don't like Christians. There's a whole lot more of them there. But Mario exposed those three this week and brought it to light, some of the things they're doing. So these things, after these things, the king, he promotes Haman. All the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow. Janet, we can't bow the knee. We're not to bow the knee when they tell us, you can't say that here. Yes, I can. According to the Constitution of the United States, I have a freedom of speech, and you can't stop me from assembling together. They can't do what they did to us 2 years ago. We should have never let that happen, and we're not to let it happen again. A lot of areas. And so Haman, he's ticked because he won't bow the knee. Much like we've seen all that on the news, they're ticked because we won't bow the knee. But we got to get the whole body of Christ coming together in unity. This is about all of us coming together. Corey's been talking. We got to come together. We got to stand with one another. So all the king's servants who were with him, okay, now let me go down. So verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow nor pay him homage to him, he was filled with wrath, but he decided, I'm going to paraphrase and kind of go fast, to lay hands on him. And he told the people of Mordecai, so Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. So now he wants to kill the whole nation of the Jewish people. So, I'm going to paraphrase and go for it. What he does is he goes to the king and he said, there's a people out there that we need to get rid of. Rusty's interpretation. And the king says, well, you're second in command. You do whatever needs to be done. And so he tells him to go through all that. Verse 11, the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you, so do with them as seems good to you. The king don't investigate any of it. Do y'all know that's what's happening in some of our congressmen and senators? They've got them scribes. Isn't that what they call them? Scribes or so, whatever's down there with them that help, that goes and does, looks things up for them and says, and he'll say, well, what's this thing read? What does it say? And so instead of him researching it, he has someone else researching it, and they can come back and tell him whatever they want to. And he goes, okay, well, let's do that. We got some perverted people in those situations. We need to be very careful. We need to elect men that are godly men and women to positions of authority. Period. You say, well, I've seen some people that, he didn't have much business sense. You let God deal with that. Me and you need to let God deal with that. We need to see where they stand from a godly standpoint according to the Word of God. Okay? So we need to go right there. So Haman saw that. He's mad. He gets up. So verse 4. So Mordecai learns all that had happened to the... let me make sure I get this right. In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried out with a loud, bitter cry. He went as far as the front gate because that's as far as he could go. Now I'm going to go down to verse 5. Then Esther called, and she's seen Mordecai down there, and he's in sackcloth and ashes, and she don't know why he's in sackcloth and ashes. But Mordecai knows what's going on, that they're trying to annihilate the whole Jewish nation, that Haman has come up with this plan. And so, verse 6, so Hattach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in the front of the king's gate. And Mordecai, verse 7, told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He gave him a copy of the decree and everything right there for their destruction. And so this Hattach returns and tells Esther. And then Esther spoke to Hattach and gave him a command for Mordecai. Oh, no, back up, excuse me. Let's go back to verse 8. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain to her that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before him for the people. Now remember, she can't go in there unless she's called or she's can be put to death. Okay? Now, verse 11, all the king's servants and all the people in the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king has not been called, can be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called. Esther's telling this to send him to Mordecai and tell him that I can't go in. The king hasn't called me for 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. So get that. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the Jews. Verse 14, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Are we not all here for such a time as this? If we remain silent, the deliverance for the church will come from another area. And we will perish with the rest. We'll just go down like, I don't know how that takes place. But I know we've been given a responsibility. And we've been called to stand up and preach the truth. And God's saying, that's the fear of the Lord. That's reverencing the Lord to the point that, you know what, I will not love my life unto death. I will speak up. I will let my voice be heard. I will share the good news of the gospel. Because it's going to, you know what? I'm either going to watch their destruction from right here. And God desires that every man be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But there's some out there that they're not going to. I seen a sign on a Baptist church in Kerrville the other day that said the tares did not become wheat. And where it said, we'll separate the wheat from the tares. And it said, the tares did not become wheat. Amen. There's a few of them up there that ain't going to become saved. There's going to be a separation. Sadly, we don't get to do some of it, but, you know, it's one of them deals. But we're going to watch. We're going to watch. If we're obedient and we're willing and obedient, we'll speak the truth and we'll let our voices be heard and we'll fill our spot in our area of influence and we'll speak the word and declare so that we can help people get set free. God's recognized all that. And if we love not our life unto death and we're taken out and before all that happens, we're going to watch the hand of God and the deliverance of God's people from either sitting right there with him in heaven or right here. But we get to watch it. We have been a part of it. We'll have done our part. We've got to do our part. We've got to stand up for who we are. Where did I stop? So, Mordecai, okay, verse 14, for a few minutes, okay. So then Esther, verse 15, told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. So they're going to fast and pray right there. Okay, y'all all know 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 20. It says, my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, and they'll pray, they'll seek my face, and they'll turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I asked the Lord the other day, how many of us got to do that? There's only a remnant left. Most of the church ain't got a clue. But if we, the church that are the remnant, if we speak up, they're going to get a clue and they're going to get in on the deal and we're going to go in one. And as we would get, I've reminded him, I said, Lord, you said to put you in remembrance of your word. You said, if we would pray and we seek your face, I said, there's a bunch I know are doing that. So you said you'd hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. And he said for us to put in remembrance of it. And expect him to do it. We got to expect. And as we expect, then our words will come into line. And when we go out the door of a morning, we're going to declare things that are according to this word and according to the way God put this nation together. And we're going to see those things come to pass. God is not going to let... He put this... This is his nation. How he does it, I don't know. He hasn't showed me, just like he hasn't showed me a few other things I've wanted to know lately. Because he said you'd mess them up, Rusty. And I get that. because I would. So verse chapter 5, now it happened on the third day, Esther put her robe on and she went in the inner court of the king's palace and she stood there till, and he called her. Okay, I'm going to go real fast right here. He called her. So in this chapter, Haman, he's really ticked. He's not happy. And so Haman went out the day, on that verse 9 of chapter 5, Haman went out that day joyful. Oh, Esther, she gets called before the king and she asks for a banquet. And she wants the king and Haman at the banquet. And so Haman, you know, the king tells Haman, and Mordecai goes home and tells his wife, oh, the queen has called for me to join her and the king at the banquet. And he's all excited. Oh, can't you just see some of them guys? They've sold their souls to the devil, and they're going home and telling their wives, oh, man, so-and-so called me to be a part. Watch what's fixing to happen to him. So, he does, and he's still mad about Haman, though. He's still ticked off about Haman. And verse 12, moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet, and all this avails me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So his wife tells him to build some gallows so they can hang Mordecai on. So then chapter 6. I was trying to go back so I didn't have to read so much and write this down. Chapter 6. That night the king could not sleep. Verse 1. So one was commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of the guy, the two people that had tried to kill him. And so the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. This gets good, y'all. So the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he'd prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, Haman's there standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? And now Haman thought it was him that's fixing to get honored. Whom would the king delight to honor more than me? So that's what he's thinking in his heart. So Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, and a royal crest placed on his head. Royal crest. Then, verse 9, let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of the one who the king's most noble prince is, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take this robe, horse you suggested, and do so for Mordecai, the Jew. Woo, that's good, ain't it? Ain't that good? I'm telling you, we're fixing to see some of that right here in this nation. It's coming to pass, but only if we, the people who are called by the name of the Lord, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. As we do that, restitution, restoration is coming about. Exposure, restitution, and restoration. But we got to take our place. We got to fill our spot. So Haman, now he's got to parade Mordecai through town and honor him. You think he ain't unhappy now? Can y'all imagine what he's doing? So let's go to chapter 7, I think. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what's your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done. So then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me and my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as a male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he who would have dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw what evil was determined against him by the king. And when the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. And the king said, "Will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house?" As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harar, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him on it." Guys, willing obedience, fear of the Lord, is bringing the plans of the counsel of the Lord in this nation. It's going to bring it to maturity. We're going to watch the church because I think with what Billy said, except we have a great awakening of God to God, not just revival. Revival's coming, but there has to be a move of the hand of God in our nation to deliver people that we're not getting through to as a church. And it's our responsibility to just press in and say, "Lord, what's my part? What would you have me to do? I want to walk in that fear of you. I want to fill my spot. I want to be who you call me to be. I want to be all of that." And the Lord said, if we're willing and obedient, he'll make sure if I believe with all my heart. Kathy reminds me of this, that's my desire. And so she said, there's days there that you're griping about where you're at. And she said, if you believe the Lord is ordering your steps, then you got to go along with him in the plans and not gripe about where he's put you for the day. And some days that's not easy to do. But as we get there, we begin to mature spiritually to where we start recognizing things. And we start walking in the love of God in a way that we didn't even know we could walk in. Super abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We become evidence of Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 3 and 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us because he's anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. We are to arise and shine, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Some days we get up and don't feel too shining. But if we will just seek the face of the Lord, he'll turn up the juice where the light shines a whole lot brighter. But we got a choice. We can fear the Lord. I don't want to not do what God told me to do. I would rather say something that God didn't tell me to say and him correct me on it than to not say something he told me to say that might have kept someone from being delivered. Amen. That, we're not going to get it right every time. The grace of God even covers our mistakes if we're willing to step out there. But if we won't get out of the boat, he ain't got nothing to work with. We ain't got a chance of sinking if we don't get out of the boat. But at least if we get out of the boat, we got a chance of sinking, but we could also walk on the water. So where do we want to be? It's up to us. It's our choice. Another thing, I won't go there, but Isaiah chapter 37. Hezekiah and the king of Assyria. If you go read that, the king of Assyria mocked God terribly. And Hezekiah put on the sackcloth and ashes and went before the Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, "I'm telling you, I'm taking this guy out." And he took him out. And there was, oh my goodness, go read that too. You'll really enjoy that because I'm not trying to get caught up in the taking out of all these guys, but it is time that they either come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and they make a decision for Jesus, or they get their butts taken out of the way so that we got righteous. And we have a chance, guys, as we speak the truth the next 29 days, reminding people, especially the church, especially people that you know. Even if they're good moral people, maybe they haven't accepted Jesus yet, but they're good moral people and they know the right thing to do. And we got to be encouraging them. Do the right thing. Vote biblically. Vote the Ten. Just tell them. They all know the Ten Commandments. Just vote the Ten Commandments. If you'll do that, well, you'll not put someone in there that supports abortion. You'll not put somewhere that supports marriage that's not between a man and a woman. You'll not put people in there that are not godly men and women who have the capability, God-given capability, of leadership and governing this nation. We, the church, have a part in the governing affairs of this nation. We're all here for such a time as this, and that setting the captives free. God, y'all know Psalms 139, I've said it almost every time I've ever preached, that our days were fashioned for us before the foundations of the world. God didn't make no bad days. He made some challenging days, but He didn't make no bad days. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, and He's equipped us and enabled us to fulfill each one of those days. And if we're not born again, having our spirit man reborn again, knowing that Jesus came and died for our sins, all we got to do is believe on the name of Jesus, confess Him as Lord, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, and we shall be saved. If we're not doing that, we don't even have a chance of being a partaker of those days. But once we do that, then God, and we seek the Lord, and we get in a Bible-believing church, and we get in the Word, then God can fix all those mistakes of the past, bring us right back to where He needs us to be, because things are going to go like this real fast right now. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you don't know where you'd go today if you left this earth, if you walked out of here, boom, you're gone. And would you spend eternity in heaven in the presence of the Lord, or would you spend eternity in hell in the presence of the devil, totally separated from the Lord? If you don't know, we want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and experience the days that God fashioned for you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So we're all going to pray a prayer. And if that's you and you need to make a decision today for Christ, we're going to all pray with you. And so pray that prayer with us. Pray this prayer with us and accept Jesus today, please. Don't go to hell. So say this with me. Father God, thank you today for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to create me a new spirit, a reborn spirit. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I'm yours from this day forward. Thank you, Father God, for raising Jesus from the dead. And I believe in my heart that you did that. And I'm now a child of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was your day to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm just going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand. We're going to give you a Bible. I won't embarrass you. But if that's you, then I want you to raise your hand up. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Hey, we're going to be up here. I'm fixing to give it to Howdy. But thank y'all so much. I'm really excited about the things that God's doing. And it's just fun to watch because we are here for such a time as this. And just seeing people set free and delivered, that's just too cool. I mean, there's just nothing like it. And so if you need prayer today, I'm going to give it to Howdy and he's going to close. And then me and Kathy and Ricky and Laurie and others, we'll hang around. And if you need prayer, we want to pray with you. You know, if you got something you need to be set free from, you know, we want to help you get set free. We want to help you walk into the fullness of life that God's got for you to walk in. Miss Janet, we got plenty. You know, we'll just be available. But so I give it to Howdy and I thank y'all for allowing me to be who I am.